We will now convene the January 14, 2014 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings, which I will now call to order. At the outset, I've reviewed and approved the minutes of the December 10, 2013 regular meeting. I've also approved the November 12, 2000 red light camera violation minutes. Were those finalized, or did you want me to hold them?
Those are actually scheduled to be approved on the red light agenda when we start at 10:30.
All right, then let me take those back from the time being. All right. Are there any announcements to be made before we proceed?
Mr. Vitello, we do have one case that I'm aware of that's in compliance that's not reflected on the agenda. It is going to be number 13. Case number 12-1372 for 928 Berkshire is in compliance as of January 13th. I'm not aware of any other announcements.
That's Lowland LLC?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is that it?
I believe that's it.
Well, all those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying at this morning's proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
Solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth and whole truth and nothing but the truth.
All right, and with that, we will proceed to case number one, Deep Lounge Incorporated and Another Plan B, Inc., DBA, 509 Supper Club and Lounge.
Good morning, Ms. Vekelja. Anthony Jackson, Assistant City Attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. Here in case number one, Deep Lounge, Inc., and Another Plan B. As you recall, we were before you last month on this, and it was continued at the request of Mr. Hood, who was representing the respondent. And I have not heard from Mr. Hood since that date. I know he did express that there was some plan to talk with the city. I can tell you he did make some efforts to talk with city staff, but his manner was difficult, and I think the choice was that they did not want to deal with him until after they dealt with him at the magistrate. Nevertheless, we're here today, and as I said, I hadn't heard from him, and I have seen that there is some legislative activity going on. He assured us that he would not use that, and it hasn't been used. So all in all, the city is ready to proceed. We have our witnesses. We have at least one of the citizen witnesses. Two citizen witnesses are here as well, and so we're ready to proceed.
Okay, is Mr. Hood here?
I have not.
Anyone from Mr. Hood's office? Is there anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Then let me hear from the city inspector. That's our standard operating procedure. Beyond that, if anybody's dying to be heard, I'll be happy to hear them out, but if the respondent hasn't appeared, then I'm typically satisfied with our inspector's report.
Okay, well, with that, the city will call Officer Syracusa, who is the liaison for the code department, and she handles this matter and collecting all the data.
Okay, Officer, what say the city?
Ultimately, we just want noncompliance, next cutoff.
Okay.
No.
What's the nature of the violation?
Their noise, their music being too loud beyond the times that it's allotted.
Okay. So I assume the city received a complaint?
Yes, sir. We initially received this complaint May 25th.
And sent out an officer?
Several.
Who did readings?
Several.
And those readings confirmed that they exceeded the allotted decibel level?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there anything else I need to hear from the city?
We have the officers, if you'd like to hear from them. Who did the readings?
Oh, as the... I just
some formalities that I'm missing here. The respondent's not here.
No, you're...
Hang on a second.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Been sworn. I don't know that I need anything more than that. But I'll hear as many people as you want to hear.
Certainly, and I agree. There's no formalities that I see of any problem, and you probably have enough to go forward in this prima facie case here. We do have some citizen witnesses, so I'd just like to make sure I at least bring them forward. I know we have Captain Newcomb. I don't know if he'd like to come forward as well, but if any of you witnesses want to come forward, please come forward.
All right, folks, if you would please come up, and before you testify, give our secretary your name and be sworn.
Steve Barnes.
Okay. Anita Gallinson.
What was that name again?
Gallinson.
Barnes. Wayne. Morgan. And the one right here.
Okay. If y'all could cover up. Please and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mr. Barnes?
Sir, I'm a longtime resident of Seabreeze, and the small house on Seabreeze that used to be a house was turned into a restaurant. From a restaurant, it turned into a nightclub, and it's a small house, so the nightclub was kind of moved outside, along with the bar. So it started out slow, and it slowly started building and building. And they put the DJs in there and outdoor speakers, and it slowly started, volume started getting cranked up later and louder every night. And the boom, 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 boom from that bass kept getting louder and louder. And a few calls about the noise after 12. And then they started adding live bands outdoors. So you take 500 or 1,000 watt amplifier and you put an outdoor band and a girl screaming into a microphone. Enough's enough, Your Honor. You know, lately they've kept it down and it's been nice. But when they have free reign and anything goes on Seabreeze, it slowly goes up and up and up. So they definitely need controls. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Ms. Gallantine?
My name's Anita Gallantine. I live at 836 North Grandview, and I'm also here representing the Seabreeze University Group. I've lived in the neighborhood for almost 20 years. I am several blocks from Seabreeze, but I'll tell you, when the wind is carrying a certain direction, we hear the boom, boom as well. Our businesses and our entertainment areas on Seabreeze are a concern to our neighborhood. We have a lot of bars. We have a lot of infractions. This particular infraction's been going on since May. So, you know, code enforcement is a very long, laborious process. So we're at 7 months now, and we still haven't resolved the issue. Maybe our neighbor has not heard as much, but I understand they have had recent code infractions again. Our police have more important things to do than continue to address these bars who violate our codes. Code compliance is not hard, but it's evident that this business does not care. And so I believe we automatically ought to start fining them with dollars every time they infract one of the current codes. You know, our city says they embrace the beachside neighborhoods. So I would like to see it through this action. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Morin?
I'm Wayne Morin. I live at 524 Seabreeze Boulevard. I'm pretty much at ground zero. I get the 509 Club directly to the front of my building. I have Bishops to my left, down two doors. They continually have been playing their music loud. And now that the garage has opened up, a subsidiary business of Bishops, there is now a band placed 30 feet from my bed at night, at least twice a week. I've complained about all three businesses to the code officers. Being at ground zero, I moved into this apartment. I'll begin there by saying I moved in last August 10th of 2012. So I did not file one complaint with the city about the noise, even though I was probably kept awake between 5 and 10 nights a month. When the new establishments opened up that Bishops owned, the tap house, and the garage. The 509 Club proceeded to open up starting Wednesday night through the weekend. It then became survival mode for me. I've documented my sleep loss, and I have it on some calendars here. Everywhere where you see writing on this calendar are nights I didn't sleep. And I'll show it to everybody, to show everybody the loss of sleep I got during the month of November and December. November, I had 5 nights sleep. I started feeling stomach pains in September, and I ended up having an endoscopy done to find out exactly what was going on with my stomach. I do have all my medical records from the Florida hospital, my discharge papers, and the doctor's instructions saying pretty much my health problem was brought on by stress. A couple weeks later, I decided to call my doctor, and they put me on some medications. I've been since put on 6 antidepressant medications. 2 of them I no longer take because they weren't strong enough. And on December 20th, the noise got so loud and my complaints were unanswered to have the music lowered that I spent the night crying and ended up in the emergency room the next morning. I was then put on a couple more sleeping pills, which I now take 4 different medications signed by my doctor. I pretty much was losing my mind up until I started taking this handful of concoction of antidepressants and pills up until a couple of weeks ago. I shouldn't have to incur the cost of emergency room visits and $30 prescriptions when somebody just isn't abiding by the law every night. And it's gotten to a point where I was literally losing my mind, and I know what it's like to be tortured in this case. And the last couple weeks, I've actually gotten sleep. The noise has been lowered to a point where I've been able to force myself to get some sleep by taking these pills. That's basically my biggest complaint. I'm in the middle of everything. I get the live band playing next door at the garage. They're literally 30 feet from my bed, and I'm not kidding. I come in, they measure 100 feet away, and they say, oh, well, it doesn't exceed the decibel limit. You try having a band play rock bands where you can hear all the words, you can hear the bands change and everything. And I get that at least twice a week. I could go on and complain, but I've been to the emergency room, I've had an endoscopy, I file my complaints, and I get to a point where I'm so stressed out, I can't even speak to the officers to file the written complaints at night because I'm so stressed. That's all I have to say.
Sir, if I could just ask one other thing, from an evidentiary perspective, I know Mr. Kelly doesn't need this, but you have numerous tapes and recordings.
Yes, I did bring in audio tapes. Right. I understand. I did supply audio tape and videotapes. I have a videotape of being assaulted by who I think was one of the bouncers at the 509 Club. It's on the videotape 2 that I gave you. It's called Assault Video, where I was just videotaping the noise on my camera phone, and a bouncer came up to me and said, stop videotaping me. And I said, I'll videotape whatever I want. And then he ripped the phone out of my hand. I went to the police officer, showed her the video, and she said, I'm filling out your paperwork. I'll be with you shortly. 20 minutes later, I called the police again because no one had approached me. And when they went to find this bouncer, he was gone. So I'm just having a tough time getting any resolution on this problem from every direction where I live. But the tapes and video are there to review. Thank you.
And that's made part of the record. That's what
the key is. You guys can have them. You can keep them. You can listen. I am a professional producer. I have professional recording equipment. I've been in music my whole life, and I've been home recording professionally for the last 7 years. I have professional equipment.
Thank you.
Warren, I just have one brief comment. The club has been a continuous problem. They're not willing to work with us. Mr. Hood had contacted me, and I told him that this is before the first hearing that we would not.
Please state your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Captain Newcomb, Daytona Beach Police Department.
Thank you.
And they weren't interested in meeting to discuss anything. We have had several other violations subsequent to those, which are going to be in the chain now for further action. Underage drinking, more noise. Attempts with management to rectify the problem have been unsuccessful, and now they're resorting to any time a police car is on the street, they run to the DJ booth to try to music down and then crank it back up when they leave. So it's just a continuous problem, and it's not resolving itself.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Anything else? No, that's everything.
I mean, as we... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
John Nicholson, 413 North Grandview. I live.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. I live half the distance between Main Street and Seabreeze. I only hear Seabreeze when they close off Grandview and it comes straight down the street. But my concern is this used to be a restaurant, the St. Regis. It's a, from what I understand, a restaurant license. There are now, I think, four restaurants on Seabreeze who now don't serve food but are restaurants, and they have a liquor license. I'm asking you that if this is a restaurant that's part of the Will Find or whatever you call it, that their 50% food be looked at, and if they don't serve food and they are a restaurant, that they be held accountable. Thank you.
Mr. Vakelja, I think... I know I've explained to our officers, and I believe they explained to a number of the people who have had the complaints that the status that we are at now as we deal with this what appears to be a little bit of a cat-and-mouse game is a finding of noncompliance, and relying on that finding of noncompliance as establishing what we would have called a will find or a repeat violation for when they start this activity again, so that we would be in a position to move forward imposing fines. And so that's the request of the city.
All right. Well, based on the testimony I've heard, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. I don't need a determination that they're in compliance now in order to issue a will find, do I?
No, you don't have to make that determination.
And further ordered that for every future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine up to $5,000 per occurrence. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Case number two, Mark Petrain.
Mark Petrain.
You raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, this is our front building, back building?
Yes.
I knew that without even any photographs. All right, where are we? I'm supposed to impose a fine. Why am I imposing a fine?
Because I didn't take it down yet.
Okay, why didn't you take it down yet?
Finally got the permit at the beginning of December.
Okay.
Called the contractor that's going to partner with me and to build a new house eventually, and he was busy for December. And I tried to do it myself. That was too much. But I called McCoy and Son, and they wanted like $12,000 to do it. So he's doing it right now. I mean, the only reason he's not working today is, but he swears he'll have it done by Friday. That's where I'm at.
Let's say the city.
Mr. Kelly.
So I guess what you're doing is the relief you're asking is for me to amend our current order of noncompliance to allow you some additional time from the points
Friday
to finish the demolition.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're asking.
Yes.
Okay. Let's say the city. Mr. Vakelja, this is a violation that's been going since February of 2013, so we're approaching a year. And we've been at the status we're in for now at least a couple or a few months of waiting for a demolition. On January 4th, a similar promise was made to the inspector that this would be done by the 7th. And quite frankly, the staff has lost patience with Mr. Petrain, and they're asking for a $250 per day fine to a maximum of $15,000.
By Friday, huh? Mm-hmm. Cross your heart, hope to die. Pay $250 a day if you're wrong.
I'm going to have to.
All right. I'm going to amend my current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent an additional 10 days from today to come into compliance.
Right.
Failing that, a fine in the amount of $150 per day will go into effect and continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Oh, bona fide. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like they say on TV, get her done.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, good luck to you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Case number three, MNMS Holdings, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
That's the experience the city has had as well. We've had no contact from since the last meeting from the violator. So the status...
Several meetings now we've had no contact, is it?
Yes, sir.
Yes. And... status remains the same. The,
so what's the relief the city's looking for?
$100 per day to $15,000.
How much?
$100 per day.
And this was to be in compliance by January 7th, is that right?
January 7th, yeah.
They were supposed to be in compliance by January 7th. So we gave them until the 7th. Okay. All right. Based on the testimony I've heard, I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of $100 per day, commencing January 8, 2014, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. That it?
That's it. Thank you, Your Honor.
Case number four, January Kearse. What say the city?
This is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector's Eddie Lopez. He was able to speak with the property manager. In this case, he's also posted and sent other correspondence. Nothing's been done. Requesting a $100 per day fine to a maximum of $15,000.
All right, based on the city's presentation, noting the absence of the respondent, I'm finding the respondent the sum of $100 per day, commencing January 8, 2014, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number five, Janie B. Hill Adams. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
In this case, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The staff has been, or co-board staff has been notified that there is a change of ownership. Ms. Adams is deceased. Her daughter is, they're working on that ownership change and working to obtain the rental license. And so we're asking for... to amend to the next cutoff.
All right. Based on the city's request, I'm amending our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent to come into compliance by February 5, 2014, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter and the imposition of the $250 administrative. I just saw it somewhere. Where did it go? What is it? The administrative fee for.
Yes, for the no rental license. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Case number 6, Theodora E. Peeling.
Leon Keeling.
Okay, can you raise your right hand, please, sir? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, and the truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Keeling, this matter here is here for an introduction to fine. The violations were to have been corrected by January 7th. And that's pursuant to an amended order of noncompliance, which, of course, followed a prior order of noncompliance.
Yes, sir.
So, why isn't this property in compliance yet?
My mom died.
First off, I saw a green pool. Please tell me that green pool's not there anymore.
Well, it may be back. It had gotten out of control, and I got it fixed. Sir, my mom was 93 years old living in that house, and I had... Excuse me. I had someone living there with her and all, and then she got sick. I came and got her. End result, my mom passed away 11/24. We were in the process of getting a loan to get the whole thing re-renovated and everything. She died. That was that. Now I have to wait because they're telling me, well, we can't find a will right now, and so it's a whole big rigmarole. If I had the money myself, believe me, I'd do it. It's because it needs to be done. I don't. Anything, I mean, the gentleman, if he's here, he'll tell you I've been, you know, if he's told me, you know, man, somebody spit on the sidewalk, I'm like, no problem, I'll get it cleaned up. So I've been attempting to be in compliance. Just things kind of overwhelmed me, to be honest with you, and that's where we're at. I mean, I bought the death certificate and everything with me, a copy of it if you need it. It's
all right. What say the city? Respondent tells me he doesn't have the financial means, and right now I don't even know that he's got the clear title to the property.
No, sir, I don't. It's still in my mom's name.
To make any of the corrections, this matter is here originally on a dilapidated roof. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Fakalcha.
Are these photographs to the same house?
Yes, they are. Yes, it is. And I'll ask...
There's more than a roof that needs to be attended.
Yeah, I'll ask for you to hear from the inspector, Mr. Stinson. And he's right as far as the pool, what had happened with the pool is that it was indeed, as the individual, Mr. I'm sorry, don't get the...
Keeling, I'm
Mr.
sorry.
Mr. Keeling had indicated he did... get the pool treated, and it was in compliance, but it's reverted back to its status. So we do have concerns with the delay needing things to be done. And I'll go ahead and hand this to Mr. Stinson. Anything else?
Mr. Stinson, this is good morning. This case started in June of 2013. The roof was one of the violations. The pool was a violation. It was unsecure. It was unmaintained. He also had broken windows on the property. He has since, the first notice of violation, corrected the pool, repaired the windows, and locked the fence. However, the roof still remained outstanding. It remains to be outstanding, and now the pool has reverted back to its unsanitary state. So currently, he's got the pool to deal with and the dilapidated roof.
Is this house occupied?
It is now. I'm there.
You're there?
Yes, sir.
You're there to stay?
For as long as it takes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I mean, I'm not actually... How do I explain it to you? Everything's been cut off, man. Like, It's crazy. But so I have to get the water turned back on. I have to get the electricity turned back on, you know, so those things. But that was my original thing. And then they sent the notice, said I had to be here. I came down from North Carolina right away, and I'm attempting to get things straightened out here. I know I don't have clear title to the house. That's a whole nother thing. I can't even find the will, and what I found, what I think was the will, the house had a flood in it, and when I picked it up, it disintegrated. So now I have to find the attorney to find the will, to find out what's going on with the house. And it's, but I assure you, I don't shrug my responsibilities. Mr. Stenson can tell you, when he's, like I said, if he's told me something's wrong.
Well, the thing that gives me immediate heartburn is Green Pool. I can't have kids in that neighborhood falling into that pool.
I will take care of it today. I'll go in and
you know, if you're telling me you got title issues, which I understand, you've got finance issues, which I understand, you're an absent property owner slash manager down here trying to do the best you can, I understand. I will cut you no slack whatsoever when it comes to that green pool.
No problem. And I
I'm going to read about a kid being found in that pool.
Okay.
Somewhere down the road. So, that having been said, what is the relief the city's looking for right now?
The city is requesting a fine be imposed, $100 per day, to a maximum of $10,000. And we're not, if I can just...
Of course, just out of curiosity, and I'm sure that's not a proper question, but I'll be happy to find the man, and I'm going to find the man if that pool isn't taken care of post-haste, and I'm forewarning him of that right now.
Yes, sir.
It looks to me as though, number one, we need to address that pool, and I really don't even care what's on the notice of violations. We're going to address that pool right now. And then I guess what I'm trying to figure out is not that I'm trying to give this guy the keys to the city, but I'm going to try to work with him somewhat because I know he's got a lot on his plate, and I at the same time want to encourage him to take care of the pool. You're hearing a recurring theme here.
Understood.
So my point is, okay, I guess what I'm going to do is this.
Sir, excuse me, not meaning to cut you off, but may I interject something? Like I said, anytime they've told me, you know, this is what's wrong with the house. This is what's wrong with the house. I mean, I've come down here personally to take care of it, you know. And with the pool, when he told me the first time that it was out of whack, I got people in. I took care of the pool. I did whatever was asked of me. He said, well, there's a broken window. I took care of the window. Well, you got to do the fence. I took care of the fence. The grass was too high. Yes, sir.
There's a fence around it.
There's a fence around it. It's locked.
Attached to a house that's lockable.
Yes, sir. The house is locked.
There should be no easy ingress or egress at that point.
No, sir. It's even got an alarm on it.
Okay. How long should it take to get the pool right? I don't know that. How long does it take to either do it yourself or get somebody in there? I take what he's got to do is he's got to clean the water or drain it, one or the other. Are those options?
The last pool company who came in and corrected it the first time did it in a day.
A day, okay. That's what I needed to know. Okay.
And if he's not I don't know if he has a history of owning pools, but draining it may result in pool floating up and being destroyed.
Yeah.
And if I can say, Mr. Vakeljo, you had asked what good it would do, and we recognize the struggle on that point. Our problem is that this started back in June.
I understand.
And quite honestly, we're just not sure what Mr. Keeling, you know, we don't penalize people because they can't, but he's saying he doesn't have water, he doesn't have electricity, he doesn't have any real suggestion on how he's going to get anything accomplished.
Okay, the Keeling clan is still the owner of this property, and it's their responsibility, plain and simple. You don't need to remind me of that. And I'm letting Mr. Keeling, I'm telling that Mr. Keeling to his face. All right. At the same time, I'm trying to figure out some way where we can get from where we are to where we need to be without just slapping a fine on somebody, putting it up on a shelf, and letting the green pool percolate out there with kids in the area. So, I am going to, okay. You're currently occupying the house, but I'm assuming it's just because you're down here trying to attend to this.
Yes, sir. Right now, I'm staying between there and my son's house because it, you know, I have to go. When I leave here, I'm going to try to get, no try, I'm going to get the electricity turned on. I don't know. My mom was in the house. I don't even know how much the water bill is. So I have to find out how much that is, and then I'll have to come up with the money, pay the water bill to get the water turned on. Taking care of the pool, sir, you know, you just give me a minute. I don't know how green. I ain't even looked at the pool, man, from when I get.
That's from yesterday morning.
Okay. So it's real bad. Depending on how bad it is, if it's not a whole lot of leaves and debris and so on and so forth in it, I can go and buy gallons of shock it back in. Electricity gets on my pump.
How you take care of it's up to you. All right. Let's get back to the business at hand. This is here on a dilapidated roof. I'm the one that's making an issue of the pool. So what are we dealing with now?
Okay.
Pool, and are we still just dealing with a dilapidated roof, or is there more than that?
That's correct, the roof and the pool.
Okay. Have you, what, if any, progress have you made on finding out what has to be done with the roof,
sir,
what it's going to cost, and when it comes? So let's switch gears and talk about the roof.
Okay, the roof. I called in roofers because I thought I was going to have a roof. Every roofer I have, I had look at my roof, told me, you don't need a new roof. There's nothing wrong with your roof. When I called Mr. Stenson and told him, hey, I called originally to inform him my mom died. You know, so you got to give me some time because and he was real, real cool with that. He was like, I understand. But then I told him, I said, you know, but I had roofers go up on my roof. They told me, you don't need a new roof. And so when I informed him, he said, yeah, I don't know. I haven't been up on your roof. Then he informed me he wanted that.
Right.
That fixed. And I said, oh, okay. So now I've contacted people to do it, and they're telling me, well, it's going to cost you know, $1,000, $1,500. A problem, but not a problem if I'll get it fixed. I just need time. I'm not working. I get disability, so you know I have to do this piecemeal.
Well, I guess I don't understand. I guess the good news is you don't need a new roof, which would lead me to believe the expense is going to be considerably less than what you initially thought. Now you've found out what's needed is less. So when are we going to get the less part done?
Well, can you give me, what's today? Can you give me at least to the middle of next month? I'll get it all done. If it ain't done, I'll have people there working like crazy.
I'll do better than that, but you better get it done.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and there's going to be a caveat there too. All right, I'm going to order.
Before you order, Mr. McKeldred, one other point. I don't know if Mr. Killing's willing to stipulate, and if it's your desire, but we can add the pool as a violation if he'll stipulate to the addition of the pool as a violation. He's on notice, and instead of us coming in filing a new violation.
Mr. Keeling, are you prepared to stipulate to the inclusion of the pool as a violation in the matter before us so that we can attend to it right now?
Yeah, explain. Because I thought he was just telling me that I was in violation with that. If I'm not,
I was the one telling you that.
Oh, okay.
You're talking roofs. I'm talking pools.
Got you. Okay.
I'm more worried about it coming down from above. I'm more worried about some kid climbing a fence and wanting to play in an empty house or an empty backyard and falling into that pool. Anyway, are you in agreement that we can address the pool right now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then we have a stipulation. All right, I'm going to order. Right, how much time, Mr. Stenson, would it be a reasonable amount of time to put into an order for him to come into compliance on that pool, recognizing that we've got to get orders printed up, delivered, all that good stuff? I'm thinking like 5 days.
I would say 5 days for the pool.
I'd actually look to the board's, to the magistrate's secretary, because she really knows best in terms of the time period.
Normally 5 days would probably be fine. I'm out there saying Friday, so if I could get it done and signed.
Okay. All right. Work. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't need to turn my concern into panic, so here's what we're going to do. I want you to be in compliance on the pool within 7 days from today.
Yes, sir.
Or you will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Yes, sir.
I want you to be in compliance with the remainder of the matters to be resolved, which I understand to be the roof, by March 5, 2014. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And in the interim, aside from yourself, I don't want the house occupied, leased, rented, or let out to anyone else at least or until this property is in compliance.
Yes, sir.
So we fixed the pool in a week. You asked for the middle of next month. I gave you till March 5th.
Yes, sir.
Get the roof done. And once you're in compliance, then you can sell it, rent it, do whatever you want.
Okay.
But in the meantime, until those matters are fixed, the only one that's going to be in it is you.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Okay. And, of course, if I didn't say it, that pool area needs to be locked, secured, as is the house, to keep anybody from getting access to that pool.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes, sir. All right. And thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, sir, and I just want you to know, there's an alarm on the house.
All right.
So, it's...
You look like a reasonable guy to me, and it sounds to me like you've done as much as you can, but we just take pools real seriously.
Man, I don't blame you. Seriously, I understand.
Right,
this is very good. Yes, sir. Okay, is
all right,
that
next
it?
Case, Gary okay. F. Zabrowski.
Now, keep your
State
phone,
and U.S. Bank, and as trustee.
Okay, thanks. Excuse me.
Morning. You would please state your name.
Jason Ruggiero here for U.S. Bank. Yes.
And you're here for a U.S. Bank?
Yes, sir.
Okay, this matter is here for the imposition of the fine. It was continued from our November 12, 2013 meeting. And I'm assuming these are photographs of the property that we're dealing with.
Yes, from yesterday morning.
From yesterday morning. And... order of continuance November 15th, affidavit of non-compliance November 6th, supposed to be in compliance by November 6th, notice of list pendants and a foreclosure action, affidavit of posting and service by mail, the estate of Mr. Zabrowski, a bunch of emails. Okay. Is it Mr. Ruggiero?
Ruggiero, yes, sir.
All right, what say Mr. Ruggiero?
This case was on a DOJ hold for a while, so plaintiff was unable to take any action while the Department of Justice was reviewing the files. That was since been released, and on October 31st, as it sounds like your Honor knows, the heirs were located and were all served. With permission by publication on October 31st. I spoke with the file attorney for the action. Now that everybody has been served, the time to answer has passed. Nobody has answered. The notices of drops and defaults are being filed, and plaintiff is going to move to foreclosure. As far as the actual maintenance of the property, we do have a company called Safeguard out there that's maintaining the grounds biweekly, but until we have certificate of title, we can't do anything as far as repairs or anything because we don't actually own the property until the foreclosure proceeding comes to final judgment.
Let's say the city. Mr. Kelch, we had an attorney here representing the estate. Well, I guess representing the bank, I guess you're representing, right?
Yes, sir.
Previously as well, explaining the same scenario. We've since taken a look at the public record as well, and we see that they are making the progress as is being described by Mr. Rosario, and with the anticipation of foreclosure soon, we're asking to move it to the next cutoff. Is that practical for February? Or?
I would ask for March, and the only reason I say that is because I was just in docket soundings for foreclosure trials. And this is a Daytona Beach foreclosure. It's in front of Judge Perkins. At the last docket sounding, he was setting the trials for Valentine's Day. So if we can get everything in and get on the trial docket, it's not going to be until that next trial period. And that would be, I just heard you mention the February 5th. So I'm thinking if we can get it in for the next March trial period, it would be the March 5th period, sir.
And we're okay with that.
Okay.
So you're anticipating getting judgment. Once you have judgment, then you're going to do whatever needs to be done. Looks to me like it's a lot of superficial cosmetic stuff.
Yes, sir. Part. Now, the only other thing aside from the trial period for March would be waiting the notice period and the sale period and, for bid. But
Mr. Vecchio, they've been working with us, and at least in good faith from the perspective of, as he said, they do have someone out there maintaining the property. We're fine to wait till April if it's assumed they're not going to have possession till March. The inspector's telling me there's no way that they can have this completed by prior to April.
So you don't have any complaint with them?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. I'll go ahead and amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until April 2, 2014 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you, sir. Now, $1,000 per day, is there a limit on that fine or no?
It depends on whether it's owner occupied.
This would be a maximum of $15,000.
Okay, thank you, sir.
There's a sliding scale depending on whether it's owner occupied, non-owner occupied, or what have you. If they're capped at either $10,000 or $15,000.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, sir. That's all I have. Thank you.
Case number 8 is in compliance. Case number 9, Helen Sword. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, what say the city?
Mr. Vecchio, this is a complaint-driven violation. It's here before you for imposition of a fine. You may recall it by the photos. This is with an issue of falling stucco. A senior property owner who has expressed that she doesn't have the means to fix it. The Homeowners Association Grand Preserve, I don't know if there's anyone here from the association, has had a press on getting something done regarding this, and I think they've taken association actions, but still pending is our case. We're asking for a fine of $50 per day to be imposed.
Is that the damage I'm looking at right there under those three windows? I can't quite.
That's correct, right over the front door.
Is it a bunch of cracking stucco?
Yes, those aren't really windows. Those are just three decorative squares. So in between the squares and the front door arch is where the stucco is failing.
Okay. All right. Well, based on the city's presentation and given that the respondent has not appeared, I'm going to go ahead and fine the respondent a sum of $50 per day, commencing January 8, 2014, and continuing each day thereafter until the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $10,000. That it?
That's it, Your Honor.
Case number 10, Hunter Verbal Truth. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
This property is also complaint-driven. Police complaint and with various problems. And I'll ask the Inspector John Stinson address that with you. but it's here for imposition of a fine. Needs to be repaired or demolished, and they made the indicated they would do one or the other and hadn't done anything. And I say they because the Hunter Verbal Truth is deceased. And I'm not, and I'll have to look to the inspector for further information regarding that as well. So, Mr. Simpson.
Yes, the house is not occupied at all. Apparently, a friend of the family cut the grass because that's what actually drew the attention of the police because it was grossly overgrown. There were transients. As you can see by the pictures, the property is being maintained. The transients are gone. However, the two structures, the house and the detached garage, are extremely dilapidated. And there's been no response since they actually cut the grass. Oh, the city is asking for imposition of a fine of $75 a day to be capped at 10, actually, since actually no one's living in there. It's not being rented.
Are you in touch with anybody at all?
No, sir. I've had that one contact with the friend of the family's, and then their action was to actually cut the grass and knock down the high weeds. Outside of that, no contact.
Okay. All right. Based on the report of our inspector, I'm going to find the fine respondent the sum of $75 per day, commencing January 8, 2014, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $10,000. Okay. Case number 11, Kathy E. Smith. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
This is before you for imposition of a fine. This also is complaint-driven. We were first notified in September of 2013. The accessory structure, that being fencing, remains. The junk vehicles have been removed. The city is asking for $100 per day, fine up to the maximum of $10,000.
Based on the city's presentation, and again noting the respondent is not present, I'm finding the respondent to sum of $100 per day, effective January 8, 2014, and to continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of fine has reached the sum of $10,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 12, James Cortazar. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, what say the city?
This is before you for progress report and a determination of a compliance date. And I'll ask the inspector to address this, but in general it's going to be the request of next cutoff for compliance. But I'll ask the inspector to tell you the current status.
This is the case at 1041 Berkshire. Came to me as a tenant complaint about the conditions on the property. That's correct. Contractor and property manager appeared before you the last time, Lucas Construction, along with the tenant.
Feisty little tenant, as I recall.
That's correct. Well, the tenant is still occupying until tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow's their eviction date. I've spoken with the property manager yesterday as well. The tenant isn't really cooperating, allowing them in and out access. The property manager is asking to just stop until the tenants are no longer there, and then they've already got their contractors lined up, the permits are pulled, and they're just going to go ahead and wait until this feisty tenant is gone, and then they can move in to do the work.
So what's the relief that's sought?
Well, like I said, we were just here to determine the compliance date. I would have to say compliance should be met by March, the March cutoff.
March or February?
I'll be fair and say March.
Okay. All right. And the tenant's supposed to be out, did you say, by tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
All right. Okay, then Did we previously given them a compliance date?
No.
No.
That was what they were, the progress to determine that.
Very good. Then based on our, having already found the respondent to be in non-compliance, based on our inspector's report, I will now order the respondent to come into compliance by March 5, 2014, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
So do you guys have not rented or occupied until it's corrected, so they don't
earn
rent if somebody else has it?
Well, yeah, we'll ask if Mr. Vakelja, if you can add that the property not be rented or occupied until these repairs are made and.
All right, well, then returning to my order, I would add to that then that in addition, this property shall not be rented, occupied, or otherwise utilized as a residence until such time as the property is in compliance.
Thank you.
All right. Case number 13 is in compliance. Case number 14, Henry Mitchell. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, what say the city?
This is here for imposition of a fine. In addition to everything else, it's occupied with no water services. All the violations still exist. The city is asking $200 per day fine plus $250 for the no occupational license. Well, I mean a no rental license.
All right.
And that'll be to a maximum of
$15,000. Okay. Finding that the respondent is still in non-compliance, I'm going to go ahead and fine the respondent the sum of $200 per day, commencing January 8, 2014, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance, where the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $10,000.
That's $15,000, Mr. Vakelja.
Reaches the amount of $15,000, and in addition to that, order the respondent to pay the $250 administrative fee for failure to obtain an occupational license. Did I say that correctly?
That's correct.
Very good. Okay, now we move on to our new cases. Mr. John Nicholson, 413 North Grandview Avenue. Yes, sir, he was. Yes, ma'am, he was. Okay, mm-hmm. Mr. Nicholson, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right,
most of them.
Pardon?
Most of them.
Okay. All right. you responded to be in non-compliance. Mr. Jackson, how long does the city believe would be necessary to come into compliance?
First of all, let me just clarify one thing. The number of units exceeds allowed amount of, it says three, and that should be two.
Okay.
And so that next one, that says three for no permit for construction over three should be over two. And so just wanted to make that correction. The staff is telling me that it will take Mr. Nicholson a little bit of time, and we are asking for the March cutoff date for him to come into compliance.
Okay. What say Mr. Nicholson?
Yes. I'm commuting to and from Miami, and I'm also in foreclosure, have been for like over 5 years. So it's
on this property?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. They did the robo signing. apparently they changed my mortgage. They put in insurance, and for a year they told me they were going to do it. They never bothered to tell me until I got the foreclosure notice 3 months after they foreclosed. So it's been an ongoing problem. But my mother has dementia, so I've been commuting to Miami 3 weeks out of the month. I come up for mail and city commission meetings, and I go back. The three units, the fire inspector did come out, did okay three units. The two units is for cable. I have a cable upstairs and a cable downstairs in the unit. The fire marshal said there would be a price difference, whether I had four units or three units, and all kinds of things would occur. So although there were four units there, we agreed that I would only rent out three, and I've only rented out three. What happened was I rented out to a gentleman upstairs to the two-bedroom. When he left, I'm storing a lot of restaurant equipment in one of the bedrooms, so I didn't want anybody else there because they would walk off with it. So I've only rented the three-bedroom downstairs. So I, the fire marshal came in and did okay three units, and that was 90? You should have it there. And a permit was paid for here. There's a new regulation that came in like a year ago, and I was told that they would come out with that list. They would go down the list, and they would call, make an appointment, and come out. They've never done that. And now I've ceased renting. Now that I'm going to be down commuting from Miami, I've cut off all the water, electric, and gas cables, so there's no renting at all until what happens with my mother. And we don't know how long that's going to be.
Okay.
So everything else will be taken care of. It's just the rental.
So we are headed toward a dispute with the city regarding how many units you're permitted to rent?
Correct, on that.
And where is that to be resolved?
We just spoke about it the other day, and they don't have records on it. So I don't know where I'm at.
It's a zoning question in terms of his ability to extend it to multi-unit a multi-family unit property. The records, I believe, as I was explained to me from the inspectors, that it's a two single-family units. It's its status, and that's what it should be. And anything more than that is an expansion beyond.
Okay, well, I'm going to save both of you some time. I suspect you'll be arguing these cases before someone other than me.
Right.
So translating this down to language I understand, I guess the question is, when are you going to be in compliance? And when I ask when you're going to be in compliance, along with that is, when are you going to be down to two units? And if you're telling me I'm going to be contesting the suggestion that I need to be down to two units, then I hear you out and I say, okay, that's your right. Who hears that? When's it going to be resolved? So that I will know whether you won or lost, so I can then plug in a compliance statement.
Correct.
So I'm going to go back over here for a second. If you and Mr. Nicholson are going to be arguing over how many units he's permitted, and I don't need any more of the details regarding the history, is that a variance request? Is that, I mean, who ultimately determines that?
Director of Redevelopment.
So
two single family units. Volusia County Property Prices website says two single family units.
Okay. Has it been determined by staff, I guess, would be the question. Is there already an official staff determination?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's a staff determination that he has to be down to two units.
Yes.
Okay. Are you accepting that, or are you challenging that?
I would challenge that, because it's been almost 30 years,
okay,
as is.
You know, with all due respect.
Yeah.
You know, save it for the people that can do something.
Right. I don't know who does it.
I have not reviewed it. I'm pretty sure, as a staff, a challenge of a.
I don't know that there is somebody to review it.
I believe there is.
Only reports to the courthouse.
I don't know from a time perspective, but I believe the challenge to the final review of a staff member would be first to the city manager and ultimately to the planning board, I believe. But I'll have to look. If this is his intent to appeal, I'll make sure that information gets to Mr. Nicholson.
Right. They're telling me you have to have two units. Are you feeling that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, he's feeling that. Okay. All right, and I'm just trying to factor in time.
So I understand.
How much time do I just to take into consideration?
Just a moment.
Well, that's the only issue That's the only violation that you're challenging.
Correct. Yeah, because the city came out. Yeah, the city came out and the inspector came out with the conversion, and then the fire inspector came out for the permits. So then they're saying they have no record of either. And I think the guy who...
I think so.
You need us to take a break.
Yeah.
Mr. McKelcher, this is something that would have to look more into us. It relates specifically to what should happen regarding his challenge of the question of number of units. However, as far as all other violations, we would ask that he still proceed with remedying all remaining violations other than the number of units.
Right.
Okay. Because the inspector indicates that they exist independent of the number of units violation.
That's fine. One last question, and that's the last time I stir this pot, is if we are forced to go from 3 units, which I guess is what the city is telling me exists at present.
He's got a total of 5 on the property, 1 main house, and then he's converted the back building to 4 units.
Okay. So how many units, according to the city, is he permitted to have?
2.
All right. If he is required to convert something that exists out there from 3, 4, 5 down to 2, does that impact the time he would need to come out of class? Are there things to be removed or remodeled?
Yes, it would. It would.
Okay. Now, given the lay of the land out there, and it's the city saying it needs to come down to 2 units, how much time would the city suggest should be allowed for him to come into compliance, keeping in mind the conversion that you're telling me is going to have to take place?
With the conversion and all the other repairs that need to be made, I would say 3 months max, with progress reports that progress is continuing.
Okay, now, excluding the conversion for a moment, looking at everything else, how much time should it take for him to come into compliance?
2 months is generous.
Okay, let me ask Mr. Nicholson the same question. No one's more familiar with your property than you.
Right.
If you are required, if you lose, and you have to go from 3, 4, or 5 units down to 2, how much time do you think it would take for you to come into compliance to do that and everything else?
I have no idea what they would require when you're permitted to have all this, and then they tell you you don't, then they have to tell you what you have to take out. If I have to take out bathrooms and plumbing and God knows what, and do I have to? Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Okay, so
depending on what they.
You don't have an answer. Exclude the conversion. Just to okay. Take care of everything else. How much time should be required?
Could I have an additional month because I'm only up here for 3 or 4 days a month, so that gives me 7, 10 days. I'm presuming they want the back rent back unit painted. I have all the wood to do all the repair work, so the repairs will be done the next time I come up. After that, I have no idea how long it would take to paint.
Okay. Are any of these units we keep talking about currently occupied?
No, everything's cut off. Because of my mother, I'm not renting, and I won't be for several years.
Okay. Is this your residence?
In the front, yes.
Okay. All right. We're getting there.
Okay, originally, when I bought the house, it was a 5-bedroom, 3-bath house and a 2-bedroom garage apartment. I had 2 Emory Riddle students that wanted his brother and cousin who were coming down, so they helped convert the downstairs. So that was all permitted. And then several years ago, the city wanted, I guess 10, 11 years ago, permits. I got permitted for 3 units, and now I'm closing everything down. But I've been permitted for everything. And I think the guy who works for the fire department is still here. Tall, blonde-haired guy.
Okay, right now,
can I ask a question? Are the permits that you're referring to, were they fire permits or were they permits and licensing permits?
One was permits and licensing for the conversion.
Uh-huh.
That was in 86, 87, and then I'm guessing 10, 12 years ago, the permitting, when the city started the permits for residential units, he permitted three.
It's my understanding, too, that once you have non-occupiable units, once they've been unoccupied, then you have to convert. You can't now keep those number of units. You have to convert back to the original number for zoning.
I don't believe that's correct. I believe it's when you are a non-conforming. My neighborhood is not a single family. North of me is a single family. South of me is a single family, but we're multifamily. I have an apartment across from me, apartment building. The house next to me is six units. If you are non-conforming after 3 months in a CRA zone and 6 months in a non-CRA zone, your grandfather, you lose the grandfather. If you are conforming, you don't lose the conforming use.
Well, then the question is, be conforming.
Right. Well, I've always been conforming. This is the first time I've heard I'm not being conforming. That's why yesterday when
I... Do you have any immediate license issues,
sir? Since it's unoccupied, no.
Since it's unoccupied. Okay.
Just getting some staff assistance from staff that may have had an idea, and because it's something that's in our code of ordinances, and it appears that the ultimately an appeal will go to the planning board, but it will first take a staff determination of the exact status of where we are, and I don't think there's a clarity in staff, so we'll take staff sitting down, going over this whole circumstance, and then determining what, if anything, he can do, or whether staff, whether he's maxed his administrative remedies.
All right. I'm going to continue the determination of a compliance date to our next meeting. Our next meeting will be February 11, 2014. In the interim, the house is not to be rented, used, or occupied, with the exception of Mr. Nicholson himself occupying, I guess you told
the main house,
the front portion.
Well, there's two separate buildings. One is a house, one's a garage.
In any event, there will be no other units rented or occupied until such time as we're in compliance. The purpose of this continuance is to enable the city, because I'm told I'm being confronted with a dispute between the city and the property owner regarding the number of units, and the determination of the number of units is going to impact the time to come into compliance. So that having been said, the purpose of this continuance is to allow the city to ascertain what needs to be done, and the property owner an opportunity to determine what his rights of review are based on whatever the city's decision and determination may be. So, I'm continuing this matter till February 11th. We'll see you all back then. In the interim, of course, it would behoove you to be making as many repairs as you can.
Right.
And on February 11th, I'm hopeful that we'll have a little more clarity regarding the city's determination, what, if any, remedies he has to pursue, so that I then can take those into consideration in trying to fashion something reasonable out of it all. Okay?
Right.
So, as far as this matter goes, we'll see all of you on February 11th of 2014, hopefully for the purpose of entering some sort of an order with regard to a compliance date.
Okay.
Good luck, y'all.
Thank you.
Case number 16, John Birch, 755 LLC. Anyone here for the respondent?
John Birch.
You can raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Birch, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
No, sir.
You don't. All right, then let's hear from the city. Mr. City Attorney, Mr. Birch is disputing the notice of working without permits, so what say the city?
The city will call the inspector, John Stinson, to report to our magistrate. Mr. Stinson.
Oh, good morning. My name is John Stinson, code inspector, employed with the city. McCall cases are on file. This is, for lack of a better term, a continuation of an old case that you actually heard. The old case, just to give you some background, the old case was about the condition of the property and the permits, and Mr. Birch was going to restore it or renovate it. You put it in order. Property owner was fined. However, I believe that he got some relief from the city commission, and they went and issued a second permit for him to achieve.
Why did they do that?
I don't have that answer.
All right.
At any rate, another issue was another permit was issued. He was given an additional 6 months on this permit, and he has failed all of the inspections. And now this secondary permit that was issued has also expired. During all of this time, there's been plenty of citizen complaints, police complaints, and we actually had the fire department out there as well to put out a fire in the rear. As you can see by the pictures, there's plenty of fuel for the fires to burn.
How current are these photos?
The last section of photos, the last time I was out there was yesterday morning. So probably at the end of the block of pictures are going to be current. The most current pictures are going to have portions of a white fence being installed on the front without permits.
What work was done without permits?
There are no valid permits at all, period, on record for this entire property.
Okay.
So any work on the property would be done without permits.
And from you having gone out there over however long a period you have, including taking photographs, I take it you've observed circumstances indicating that the work has been done in the interim.
I'll be quite honest with you, there's not a lot of work that's actually been done. There has been some change. There's been some flowers. There's been some addition of portions of fence. There's been some plumbing attempted. But like I said, there's been three inspections on the last permit. The first inspection was for the temporary power pole for him to actually operate there. That did pass. The other two inspections both failed. One was for a plumbing inspection, as you can see out in front, and the other one was for his plans that still have yet to be approved on whatever he plans on doing with the property. As it stands right now, all of these pictures are current. The rear property still looks like this. That RV has a expired tag and it is no longer operable. So this is just a major eyesore in the city, and pretty much everyone from City Hall to the police department is up in arms about it.
Refresh my memory. The first time around we dealt with this, wasn't there an issue then as far as the damage to the house being so excessive that it didn't qualify to be rehabbed or something like that?
Yes, that's correct.
Remembering this?
You're remembering it correct.
Correctly?
That's correct. We had two issues the first time. Initially, it was an issue of him working without the permit and exceeding the scope of the permit. And as he worked to try and obtain a permit, we had those discussions about the nature of this being such that it would exceed any practical cost for renovation, and it should be demolished. You may recall that Mr. Birch had advised and informed that this was the nature of what he did. He collected in various parts from various places and was able to, in a very relatively inexpensive way, put a house back together, and that's what he was working on doing. As indicated, it just hasn't happened.
And what did we ultimately do? We fined the owner because we determined the house couldn't be rehabbed, and I'm presuming we ordered it demolished.
The last case, you imposed a fine of $500 a day until it was either completely done or removed, correct?
Okay. Whatever's come of that fine?
I don't have a good answer for that one. I know you imposed the fine. I know that it ran its course.
It was recorded. I'll check with the board.
It's reached its maximum.
Okay.
And how did we end up in front of the city commission?
I cannot speak to that. I'd have to defer to
Mr. Well, I can speak in generally. Mr. Birch, I know, had, and I think he had indicated even prior that he had been talking with city staff, and ultimately he brought the issue up before the commission as well. And I'm not, I'd love to be able to tell you exactly what they did, but I know that they, ultimately the city staff granted him a permit to give him the opportunity to proceed based on the description of what he intended on doing.
Okay. The city staff refused to give him a permit to rehab, I take it?
Initially.
Okay. And then it was brought before the special magistrate.
That's correct.
He was told to demolish the property. We had a hearing on the value of the property versus the cost of rehab.
That's correct.
Ordered the property be demolished. It wasn't demolished. We fined the owner.
That's correct.
We fined the owner because he refused to demolish a house that should have been torn down.
Right.
And now you're telling the city commission, notwithstanding all of that, gave him a permit so he could go back and try to rehab the house?
Correct.
Just want to make sure I understand the lay of the land.
And I'm sure there's an explanation that I just don't have in full, but ultimately that's the right
fact. Say, Mr. Birch.
Morning. That was not the plan. Everything that you all have said is, they have said is wrong. We obtained a permit. It's on file for 20 in the year of 11. Once the city, the head man got into a fight, they then took the permit back. Then they told me I had to get a set of plans. The plans took a year. The plans was approved. They gave me a permit to do the property. It was never for me to demolish the property. I now have another. I have a permit in hand.
What is this permit that he's waving around?
The city. I have a permit. The city gave me permission to rehab the property since it was in a little technical thing because they had already given me a permit. The house had been there for approximately 10 years, sitting there. The city had the right to demolish the house 10 years ago. The city was keeping up this property. The city of Daytona, the code enforcement board was maintaining the house. Time it came into possession of Mr. Birch, then they said we want to demolish it. All of a sudden, but the house had been sitting there. So I do have a permit. I paid all of my fines. I have a permit for the next 6 months. So I don't see what's...
Is that a permit?
Is the permit card?
I have all the paperwork and the money.
This is expired.
It's not expired, sir. I have all my paperwork right here.
6 months and date of issue 5/10/13.
It's not expired. And in these papers here, sir, all of that is where I paid. They gave me 6 more months, and I've signed a rehabilitation agreement to be through in 6 months. I've signed a paper that's going to the city manager.
Again, 5/10/13.
So that's the same as this?
Correct.
Yes, I just extended the permit. The permit is extended until July. I have some more paperwork. It's extended until 6 more months.
That's what he's talking about. He did a couple of days ago.
So you did this on January 9th?
Yes, sir. Once I see that he put a... that I was working without a permit. I had a permit, and he know I had a permit. So I don't see how he going to say that he doesn't know that I had
a
permit.
You have a permit that expired on November of 2013.
It's expired in December. You had two. It expired in December.
So what did he say that was wrong?
He just posted the note. I didn't know that it had 6 months had passed. So then I went down and obtained an extension and paid my fees. And I went down to the building department. I have had no problem with the city as a rehabbing the property. And that permit where I paid the $90 right there, it has the extension date of 6 more months they are giving me to rehab the property. So all of that paperwork is...
I'm looking at an invoice that's marked pay. It says building permit fees, reinstate, I guess that's expired permit.
Yes, sir.
Tony?
I'm sorry.
They reinstated it.
I assume, well, you tell me, what does reinstatement of an expired permit mean? Does that mean this permit is good for another 6 months? And is that actually addressing this permit?
Yes, sir.
I have to look to my inspector to...
You take this to
it's something I'm not... typically familiar with, so I'll ask my inspector, Mr. Stinson, is this that what this means, that it's extended?
Six
based on what you see there?
6 more months.
That's what the paper says.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is the first time you've been made aware of that. You didn't know this prior to?
That's correct. First time I've seen it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So this notice of violation is working without permits. You didn't have a permit on January 9th, so I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Okay, Mr. Jackson?
Yes, sir.
It would appear the respondent now has a permit. So I guess he has cured his non-compliance.
Well, this was a repeat violation, and that's why what we were bringing in is a repeat violation.
I agree.
You're correct. Based on what we just see here, it appears now he has cured the working without a permit, any work that he's doing.
Okay, so as I understand the timeline, in May of last year, you get a permit. I'm hearing testimony that expires within 6 months. It obviously did expire. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to reinstate it. You did, in fact, reinstate it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was after this notice of violation. So as far as this notice of violation is concerned, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Now, prior to the meeting on this notice violation, specifically about 5 days ago, Mr. Birch reinstated the expired permit, so it would appear as though he is now in compliance. So that having been said, what, if any, additional relief is the city seeking?
The city is just a moment. City staff is asking for the imposition of a fine of $1,000 for the noncompliance.
You're talking about the violation that occurred.
May I speak?
In a second. You're talking about the violation that existed between 12/2/2013 until January 9th.
That's correct.
Impose that kind of fine, having just found him in noncompliance?
Yes, you can. In this situation, with it being repeat violation, you can impose a fine of up to $5,000.
Is there a will fine order in effect?
Well, that's the effect of the will fine order is having him found in prior noncompliance. And in this instance, the perspective of the staff is it's egregious in that the situation is when there is a permit, it's very little work done, and when there's no permit, then there's work being done, and all of it is contrary to what the code division deems in the best interest of.
What say, Mr. Birch?
Your Honor, I did not know that it was the permit was up. And Mr. Stinson, I see him maybe on a daily or weekly basis riding through the neighborhood. So, you know, I just didn't know because it's in December. All I received was a notice on the door. Time I received the notice on the door, I went down because you can get an extension, and that's what I did. So I don't understand where the city think that Mr. Birch has $1,000, has $15,000, and the city know that we are going to go to court sooner or later because the city issued me a permit at first, and the house was in a bad condition when I bought it. And I don't understand how they think that that a guy of my stature that goes out and make an honest dollar that has $1,000 just laying around for a month. So all I'm saying is I obtained a permit within a timely amount of time. I received that letter. I came down and said, Mr. Birch, we have no problem. So I don't understand why the city is sending mixed signals. You come in the office and everyone speaks real nice to you. And then you have a man like Mr. Stinson that runs around like, hey, I'm doing all I can do to hurt you. It's nothing out in front of that.
Mr. Burks, with all due respect, I think you've played every agency the city of Daytona Beach has to get to where you've gotten.
Of course not, sir.
Property.
Of course not. I haven't played no one.
Years.
I can hold the Bible up, can you? I've done what the city asked me to do when they obtained the first permit. Not the second one. They gave me a permit, and then they revoked it. And when they revoked it, it took a year.
The term permits, working without permits. I assume the term permits is used there generically. And what I mean by that is, if I found that he worked without permits, which I already have, then what would preclude me from entering a will find in the future should he work without permits again?
Nothing, Mr. McKelvey, the prior finding. Okay.
This is already deteriorating. No, I'm not going to fine Mr. Birch the $1,000 the city is asking for. I'm going to take him at his word that he didn't know how long a permit was good for. That having been said, you're on notice now. And for every future violation in which work is done without the appropriate permits on that property, you'll be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence.
Thank you.
So we all know the lay of the land now, right?
We know.
All right, good luck to you. Good luck.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, case number 17 is in compliance. Case number 18 is in compliance. Case number 19 is in compliance. Case number 20, Philip Longo and Ralph Daddio. Anyone here for the respondent?
That's in compliance, January 13th.
Thank you. Case number 21, Jack R. Miles. Anyone here for the respondent? Seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Yes, Mr. Vakelji, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. This is a substantial police issue. In fact, we intended on having an officer here.
Captain,
is he still here? Captain Newcomb, I don't know if you wanted to say anything regarding this, but we did have him here as a witness to testify if necessary. But
these photographs current?
They're of August of 2013. But these issues still remain: dorm living, site storage, broken windows.
So when was the last time you were out to the site?
I was out there a few days ago.
So these photographs are indicative of what it still looks like today?
It looks the same as it is.
I find it's compliance, non-compliance. How much time to come into compliance?
Next cut off.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I'm ordering the respondent to come into compliance by February 5, 2014, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right, that concludes our morning agenda. Our morning agenda. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate? Yes, sir. Come on up. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Randall Nealman.
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you must provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And is this regarding a property?
Yes, it is. Case number CE2013-2532. The house at 145 Kingston.
This is a case that is not on the agenda that you've previously ruled on, I believe, at the last commission, at the last meeting.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Well, before we go any further, do we have an order in effect on this case?
Yes, sir. It's up there where you just signed the order imposing fine. It was... He was to be in compliance by January 7th or an automatic fine.
Okay. Until compliance is achieved or the All right, so I entered an order giving you till January 7th to come into compliance. Failing that, a fine of $200 per day would go into effect and would continue thereafter until the property was in compliance or the amount of the fine reached the sum of $15,000. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. What can I do for you today?
Well, I don't think the case went very well, and actually I was basically shorted 60 days when I was granted a, in one of my appearances before you, a 90-day extension. You scheduled me 44 days later for the second magistrate meeting. I lost 60 days there, or close to 60 days. Anyway, I guess you have started the fine. I'd like to question you if...
You'd like to question me?
Well, Mr. Stenson as well.
Well, okay, let's shift gears here for a moment. Let's
okay.
Try to do it the way things are supposed to be done around here. Are you in compliance yet?
I am trying to get Mr. Stenson to actually tell me in words. I have given him absolutely everything he has asked for that he spelled out and said needed to be redone is 100% redone.
Okay. Would
Mr. Stenson be nearby?
Well, have you asked for a final inspection?
Yes, I did. And Mr. Garcia and Mr. Stenson came out on January 4th.
Okay. And what was the
And they were preloaded for bear. They made their decision long before they got there that I would not be in compliance. In fact, Mr. Stenson and Mr. Garcia have made that predetermination a long time ago. I don't know why, but there's a skirmish in the neighborhood, and I intend to bring it out. I mentioned this to you at an earlier meeting.
All right, time out.
Are you asking for a rehearing of the previous?
I'm asking basically
no,
for.
No, you're not. You're not asking for a rehearing yet.
Not yet.
No, because you don't want to. Because if you lose that right now, you're not going to get another one. And I don't think it's a very prudent idea for you to ask for a rehearing. If I understand what you're telling me, you think you're in compliance. Is that
yes,
right
I do.
Here? And the city's disagreeing.
Correct.
Okay, so we have a dispute.
Yes, we do.
And disputes go where?
To you.
Special magistrate.
Right.
Okay. So if you think you're in compliance and you
yes,
call
sir.
For your final inspection
yes, sir.
And they disagree with you,
yes, sir.
Then what I would be doing if I were in your shoes, although I'm probably not supposed to be giving out advice,
well, thank you,
is I would probably hire an independent third person like a contractor to say, would you please take a look at this notice of violation and go look at that house, because I'm going to want you to testify to that special magistrate that everything on that list of violations is in compliance. And if that were the case, then I would probably give that a considerable amount of weight. And then that would resolve a dispute. Now, I'm not making you any guarantees. But my point is that would be a lot more efficient than us just sitting here bickering between staff and you as far as how things ought to be.
Okay, understood. And I will give you that under oath right now. I made a little cry for help, and I talked to Mr. Hardy Smith, the assistant city manager. And I said, I have his family and friends, they're close friends of my family and friends. And I said, would you be so kind as to come look at my house at 145 Kingston that is not up to code and not in compliance? And he said, well, this was done 3 weeks ago. You may talk to Mr. Hardy Smith if he did this or not. He drove out to my house at 145 Kingston Avenue. He said, I'll be out with two code City of Daytona Beach code officers this afternoon. We're going to stop and take a look at it. And I will call you back. Mr. Hardy Smith did call me back that afternoon. His exact words, and I'll summarize it, but give you his exact words. You may check with him for his opinion. He said, I was actually going to call you back. He said, we pulled down the street and we looked at all the houses, and here's a bunch of dilapidated old houses. And then here's this house. It's absolutely pristine, really looking good, and nice-looking house. He says, we got out. We looked around the front. We walked around to the back. He said, to me, your house looks fine and dandy. He said, I suggest you take up your case with an attorney and also your suggestion that I have other inspections. And the two code officers that were the city said, wow, we wish all the other houses in the neighborhood looked as good as this one does right now. So you may go to city help, you may just go about three offices over from here right now, and that's where we stand. I have told Mr. Stenson I would be more than happy to come. I'm 100% up to code. I have worked my butt off and at great expense and labor. I did mention I had a stroke, and I don't want any sympathy or consideration for that, but it has slowed me a little bit down, quite a bit, to be honest. But no complaints. I will bring that home into in compliance, whatever I have to do. All he needs to do is meet with me, and I've even told him, I'll walk around him with a piece of paper. He says, everything is referred to in the land use codes. I have looked all of them up, and each case is broad under each category. I have tried putting Mr. Stenson on the spot that you have to be... Tell me exactly specific. I will comply. I will bring this house up to code. I have four people now trying to buy the house from me. If he was here, one of the young ladies is with a 501c Help the Community organization, and she wants the house. She has spoken with Mr. Stenson about, what will she incur with the way that it stands right now, so I can't sell it to her. She'll incur everything, and now we have a fine that you're going to sign here in a minute that will be up and running against me. I don't know why you determined a fee that high for a house that is probably the nicest old house on the street. I would personally like to invite you to come by for a tour if you wish. I don't know if that would involve you too much, but I will take this to the limit, and as far as Mr. Stenson and me complying with everything he has possibly asked for, and then some. Not only I got rid of all the rotten wood completely, and I could have replaced it with just crummy grade wood. The front deck has been totally rebuilt with and totally rebraced, all with pressure treated, and the deck on it is marine grade, pressure treated plywood. It's got two coats of special sealer on it. All the walls are perfect. All the windows are new and perfect. There is no broken glass. I corrected the broken windows. There was a bunch of rubble in the street, which I have since gotten the city to throw some asphalt in the hole and drive over it with their truck. And I think we're picking up the concrete chunks and hurling it through my windows. That's happened a bunch of times. It's been ongoing.
Now,
but it's, as it stands right now, I think the house is 100% or more up to compliance. Not the inside of the house, the outside of the house.
Okay. Well, while you are more than welcome to hire all the attorneys you want if you feel that you have been somehow mistreated by the city,
okay,
by all means, do that. I would suggest, as is so often the case, there's a very, very simple way to sidestep a lot of expensive, wasteful conflict.
Okay.
So if what you're telling me is that you and the city inspector are having a disagreement as to whether you're in compliance or not.
Correct.
And you're telling me that you're in compliance. And you're telling me that you're in compliance.
Correct.
Then if I were you, I would make certain that I've made it perfectly clear that I want my final inspection. And if they disagree that you're in compliance, then I would suggest you file a motion for rehearing.
Okay.
And then when you come to that rehearing, you say, by the way, I followed your advice, Mr. Special Magistrate.
Okay.
And when I failed again, I had a contractor that I provided this list of violations to. With all due respect to a city manager, an assistant city manager, whoever it may be, I don't care if it's the Pope.
Okay.
If he's not a licensed contractor, he's not going to be able to tell me whether or not you're in compliance with construction
Correct.
Requirements. So I would suggest you just have a contractor go through that and be prepared to say, well, Mr. Bekelch, I don't understand why the city has a problem here, because it, from a construction standpoint, it looks to me as though every violation has been resolved. Okay. And then at that point, I will say, well, I remember Mr. Nealon telling me all the way back on January 14th that that was the case. So with that, that's how we would address that.
Okay, I would be more than happy to work with Mr.
That's
Stenson.
That's what I would suggest you do. So if and, you call for a final inspection already, then call for one now.
Okay.
And if you don't, if you're told you're not in compliance and you want to argue about it.
I don't want to argue. I want to openly discuss it.
I've let you talk. Let me talk now.
Okay.
If you, if it's something that you agree with or think, well, okay, it'd be easier to fix it than it would to argue with it, then by all means, go do it.
I will.
If you're satisfied that it's done and that's all there is to it, then bring me somebody who knows something about construction
okay.
who can vouch for what you say, and I will take all that into consideration at a motion for rehearing. And I'm forewarning you, don't ask for a motion for rehearing prior to you being absolutely certain that
okay.
you're going to have your best
no,
foot to put
I'll
forward, because you're only going to get one.
Okay, understood.
Okay?
All right. In the meantime, will my fine be proceeding?
In the meantime, your fine will be proceeding, which is why I suggest...
I will be unable to sell this house to four buyers standing in line waiting to buy it, and I want out from underneath
well,
this.
Our next meeting is on February 5th of 2014. February 11th of 2014. I'm hoping if you call for another inspection administratively, this may be over, and if we need... If you have a buyer in hand, it's not unusual for us to convene in order to hear something that may be holding up a closing.
Okay.
We've done it on occasion.
All right.
We don't do it often,
I will
but we've done it on occasion because that's how the city goes out of its way to not handicap its property owners once they've come into compliance.
Okay.
The city appreciates people that come into compliance. Whew. So that's how we ought to handle it. So
okay.
let's lose a lot of the anger. Let's save your money. Let's not have a stroke about it. If you're satisfied you're in compliance, call for your final inspection. If you don't get your certificate of compliance, find you a contractor who's going to come vouch for what you have to say.
Absolutely.
And then we'll hear it at a motion for rehearing. Or if you have something, if you have a sale pending and you need an earlier determination, then we'll see what we can do.
Okay. Is there any way we can reduce that fine? How do you
No. I'm not doing anything to that fine, because right now, with all due respect, you're telling me one thing, city's telling me something different. I'm not going to make that call right now. The fine can be revisited at a motion for rehearing. The fine can be reduced.
Okay.
The fine can be waived.
Okay.
And whether it's reduced or whether it's waived, it's going to depend on how impressed I am with whether you were in compliance
okay.
or the effort you made to come into compliance.
All right.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Well, Mr. Bekelch, I thank you for at least hearing me out here.
Absolutely. We hear everything.
I'm an honest-to-God truth. I'm trying to gain some ground on this and come out of it.
Well, it sounds to me like you're too close to the end to be
no,
letting it
not now.
Into something bigger.
Yeah.
So... Call for your final
well,
inspection.
Well, I actually had to put in a formal request for all the records that you have on hand
you
with the city clerk yesterday.
You can knock yourself out asking for as much as you
well,
want.
Well, I'm trying to, trying to find out from...
Right. I'm just here to tell you, there's a simpler way to get from point A to point B than
well,
starting forest fires in between.
I know you can't order the court to ask Mr. Stenson to actually communicate with me, but I will require that.
Either that or ask the city to assign you another inspector. I don't know.
I went before Hector Garcia and asked that, and he said no, he's keeping him on the case. And basically he came down as hard on me as Mr. Stenson has, both of them, from the very beginning.
Well, all the more reason then if I were you, then I would be, and I genuinely felt I was in compliance, but I was being told I was not.
Correct.
And I would come with somebody, an expert, who could absolutely say this man is in compliance.
Within the next few days,
I think,
yeah.
And then that's the kind of testimony,
correct.
That's the kind of evidence a special magistrate is supposed to take into consideration.
Within the next few days, I'll have a licensed contractor inspect the house. We'll go through
it. Call for your inspection first. For all you know, you may be in compliance. Anyway, That's the way it should be. That's the way I would suggest it be handled.
Thank you for your assistance.
No problem. Good luck.
Okay.
To you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. That there's no other miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate, then we're adjourned.